Info News, information and news for the people. If you're silent, others will speak for you.
This is Aria Shalara. Today's date is April 28th, 2015. I am here with Imam Wally, and we are going to discuss the riots which have taken place in Baltimore. First, I want to send my condolences to the Gray family, and my heart really goes out to all victims of police brutality. We were listening to President Obama's address in light of the riots that occurred Monday evening, and these were children that were doing this. So we want to address our Jersey City community, which I think have been pretty silent, but I think is more important for the leaders in our community, the Jersey City community, to address these issues that are going on in our country before they hit our neighborhood, so that you can see that there is leadership there for us. There are people there that are willing to guide us through these times that we're going through. Just to pass the mic over to Imam Wally, and I know you want to express your thoughts.
With the name of the Creator, I'd like to first give my condolences to the Gray family, and I too would also like to give express my concerns to the family of all who have lost a loved one to law enforcement. I hope that the upcoming days, weeks, months, and years, we as a community would learn something from what would be our past. It's hard to say for any parent or any child or any loved one who have lost someone in this manner that they know to just spring back.
This is a really tough time for the African American community, and I think that those riots in Baltimore stemmed because first of all, the riots started from unguided youth. And you know, Barack Obama said that this is no excuse for this type of violence, and it's counterproductive.
And I would say, I'm glad to hear from the president, and I think he should address these issues. Over the past, when he addressed an issue, I think we can go back into the time of whereas Professor Gates had some confrontation or some involvement with the police officer. And I think he has shown to me to be a fair person. I would have to say that. And I think his addressing this issue is consistent with his prior position as a leader, a civil rights leader in the community working and having the concern for the people, the American people, you know, and that American people includes the African American community. Okay, so coming off what the president say mm-hmm. about this violence being counterproductive is definitely self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. We do not need a repeat of the 60s. Or any other time prior to that,
right,
where the certain interests felt that it was necessary to infiltrate mm-hmm. a protest
right.
or a movement so that they can be seen in a bad light,
right,
and then only to have the media mm-hmm. follow through by or on the radio,
right,
where it's being repeated over and over again and ignoring the good.
Right.
In other words, they prefer to show America the ugly mm-hmm. than to show America the beauty when the people are in accordance with the law. And I think the people so far have, what I've observed, they have been orderly. And of course, you can expect those who would infiltrate or those who would take on that betrayal attitude and try to move the groups away from their job, from their objective.
Right. Just to cut in a little bit, we watched the riots going on, and as the rioters, which were minors, they were being addressed by the older people in the groups, telling them to stop. You know, don't give the police a reason to harm you. Mayor Stephanie Blake did an excellent job on holding off the National Guard from coming in. She gave people a chance to get themselves together. And what we actually were seeing were people who didn't even belong, live in the Baltimore neighborhoods, destroying this, you know, particular CVS and 7-Eleven that were being looped over and over again. We had to actually see the positive side on social media. You know.
Well, here again, I think the mayor of Baltimore probably have that same background as our president. Mm-hmm. And I think they understand the oppression that the community has been suffering. Mm-hmm. And they understand the approach that need to be taken. Right. And the bitterness that the people feel, the injustice consistently. I think it was a wise move on her behalf. And I think if we look at it carefully, you know, she held back as much as she possibly can. That's my thinking. Mm-hmm. Until her hands were being forced by these criminal activities. And we have to see them as criminal activities. Yeah. If we're going to see the activities of the policemen as criminal, then we are going to call, well, as we say in the hood, a spade, okay? And I think that's what we need to do. And we need to do that very, very sincerely on all levels. Mm-hmm. And I think this type of movement, as the president well expressed, that it does no good. You're only feeding those who are infiltrating and who have those who are betrayal. You're feeding their desires. That's what they're doing. You mean bamboozle,
right?
A hoodwink. You're being pushed into something, and you need not to participate with those who are doing that.
Right.
Okay, and main on the course. Right. Here in the Hudson area, Jersey City, Greenville section, I think we need to look at things as they develop. You know, nobody wished that it happened in Baltimore, but it is what it is. That's where it starts. But I think everyone else can look at it and say, no, we're not going to travel those roads, whereas we're going to have the National Guard come in.
Right.
Because this betrayal and infiltration that's the result of that type of thing. Right. It is disorderly, and we don't need anarchy. We need law and order at all times. Law and order time, and then we must work toward the justice that should be given to each of our countrymen.
Right. So, President Obama suggested that local communities recognize that they need to, you know, form an alliance with the police in order to avoid stuff that goes on in, like, such as the stuff that went on in Ferguson, you know, that caused, you know, the murders that caused these riots. So I think that
I think here, here again, I think the president acted correctly in addressing the issue again, and also providing a light, if you will, a solution, to the problem and how we should go about reversing all of this injustice that is so obvious. And I think the president is correct in that. And I think really the different leaders, you know, they're starting to come out by names, you know, different groups. I don't want to name any particular group.
Right, it was a couple of the gangs that went to their church in Baltimore and said, you know, this is not us doing that violence. We're not about these riots.
Yes, and I think that was a good move on their behalf because I think maybe the media or maybe others who want to project them in that light.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know there's other groups that have not been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really we need to honor them,
right?
The different leaders, religious leaders, and social leaders,
right? Leaders from all walks of life.
Yes, exactly.
That have an influence on large groups of people.
Exactly, and keeping the peace, the leaders that was for the peace,
right?
Not the leaders that was going to promote violence.
Unnecessary violence.
Yes, unnecessary violence and putting the life of all the protesters
right
at jeopardy.
Right.
You know, because that's what you're doing. And that can be, no, we don't want that type of thing to happen. Mm-hmm. If we are sincere in what we are about and trying to establish justice,
mm-hmm.
then we have to go according to the way that we know is going to maintain law and order.
Mm-hmm. Just to go on a point, a lot of people might get upset because people are coming out and saying, you know, don't be violent. But at the same time, you have to... Those who get mad at someone saying that need to realize that there are smaller issues that need to be addressed, that need to be addressed first, which are actually make up the entire what's going on, you know, all this that's going on between the police and the people in the African American community. President Obama actually pointed out the school to prison pipeline, which is a really big issue that's going on, and it has been going on since the zero tolerance law came into place. He also pointed out that we can't leave it up to the police to change their ways. It has to be a community thing. It has to be an understanding that if you act in a riotous way, you're going to be treated in a manner of a certain way. At the same time, he wants to retrain, you know, suggest that police departments retrain the police officers that police the African-American community or the police in general to be retrained, you know, because there's actually some type of flaw there. There's a flaw in the training. So I just wanted to ask, as a community leader in Jersey City, what are you willing to do or are already doing to keep the peace that we have in Jersey City so that stuff like incidents like Ferguson and incidents like Baltimore do not occur?
As an imam, assistant imam, I give lectures, and my lectures is geared in a way to get spiritual upliftment and to understand any type of spiritual upliftment, you must have order. And that order starts with family, immediately starts with family. So the understanding of honoring our parents, both of them, whether they are both living or not, or whether they're both together or not, our job as children is to honor both parents and to give the respect to our community and to uplift our community, not to tear down our community. That's that's what on the spiritual side. So when I give my sermon as an imam, those are the issues that I'm going for. As a resident of Jersey City, and this, these are things necessary we have to be addressed. I also have conversingwithdad.com, and I had an interest of opening that page because I felt that there were many too many youth separated from parents, mm-hmm. the male parent, the paternal parent. And I thought that it would be, in some way, something to reach out. And to all the, of course, you know, we don't want minors to visit the page who's under the age of, consentment. You know, I think most website actually be in the age of 18. So that's why I look for people 18 and older to visit the page and to answer some of the questions that are there. And
so
to,
that's the Conversing with Dad page is for 18 and older?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you also have another.
Yes. And also now I started
HUDinfo News. Yes.
HUDinfo News.org. Okay. And that is to bring the information and the news for the people.
Right.
Prepared by the people for the people. Mm-hmm. Or for the people by the people, whatever way you care to see it. And it is to give the news that most people are longing for. Mm-hmm. I would put it that way.
The real stuff.
Yes.
And stuff that's going to benefit the community. And yes. As far as like bringing the community together and just giving them resources to help them, right? Because yes. I'm working with you here, yes. Ari Ashlara.
Yes.
And I have Shadow in the Valley that I'm working on too.
Yes.
No, this is all that in there.
Oh, yes.
Shadow in the Valley. And it's featured on, actually, HUD Info News. And the first, you know, discussion we have is with an organization that's actually working to improve the school system, the public school systems. And, you know, they're a phenomenal group, the SEOC. You know, give them...
Oh, yes. And see, this is what we need. We need that type of relationship for those groups that are not, let's say, in the spotlight.
Right.
But they are working feverishly.
Behind the scenes.
Right. And they need to be, mm-hmm. you know, brought forth. And HUDinfoNews.org is where one can find that information that there are.
Of the groups that are yes. behind the scenes.
Exactly.
And, I want to put out there now just to ask groups, organizations, and individuals that are leaders and that are not having, you know, enough shine in the community, in the Jersey City community, Hudson County community, to, you know, email me at hudinfonews@gmail.com so that we can get you some exposure and, you know, bring light to what you're doing and how you're improving, you know, the public schools, the community, you know, what a food bank, you know, whatever it might be, right? You know,
and yes, of course.
Just
yes.
It's a free information site. We anything that we discuss on HUD Info News is free and public information that is hidden to the general public. And that's the intentions of that HUD, of your
HUD Info News, yes.
Imam Wali,
yes. And we can get the HUD. Yeah, of course, did I give the web page number? But I will now.
Okay.
HUDinfoNews.org, and I think really, you know, the group that we have, the
SEOC.
Pardon me. I think their interest has been focused on the children.
Right, especially, it's all children. Because all children aren't going to public schools,
yes.
And all children are getting filtered into the school to prison pipeline. That is a major part of what we're seeing right here in Baltimore. We're not in Baltimore, but in Baltimore, in Ferguson, in, you know, other in New York, in you New know, Jersey. In New Jersey, you know, people.
Nationwide.
It's those small things that you don't notice that are happening that are affecting all of this on a very large scale. And you have to start at the bottom, and it starts with the children.
Yes, and these things irritate our children, and many parents, they don't have a clue that why our children are irritated, but yet we send them to these schools, and they must go by law, but yet they're frustrated from the very door. Right. I visited a school, and I tell you, at the door, I'm seeing what is not so welcoming.
Yeah.
You know, make you want to turn around with, hey, am I in a police station?
Yeah.
Is this a school? Or is this a, yeah. So I think we need to begin to work on that. And those things need to be understood by parents. So I am active in the community, and I'm trying to get more active. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to overburden myself.
Right. But also, you know, when people come to you, it's not always going to be an issue that you can resolve for them, but you can also give them a resource that can help them.
Exactly. And that's how I've been it, because, you know, we just can't maintain everything in one area.
Right.
So, whereas in the religious center, we are unable to help the people, then we know to send them somewhere else for that help.
Right.
And that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And it's important for the leaders to come from your community. That's why we want to give those people that are not having the exposure.
Yes, it's important that a leader live amongst his people. I think the president said it well, and that is, that depends on the people. Leaders are one individual, and leaders can speak to a people, but then it becomes to the body to adhere to the leadership, okay? And that leadership should be from among the people, and not a puppet, not someone. You see, this is another area of problem. You know, not someone who is, you know, alien to the community that he or she is trying to lead.
Right.
You see, that's
someone who's not in the community.
Yes.
Who's not living, you know, the life that they're trying of the people, not living the life of the people that they're trying to lead.
Well, exactly. And he not to be someone who's not of that community. So you can actually feel what's in that community that you're talking about. Okay? And I think that's one of the reasons what you have there in Baltimore is that you have, it is reported that some people are coming from other areas.
Right.
And they're, if I can use the language of the street, their swagger. It's not the same as the people of that area.
Mm-hmm.
So they're dealing with issues. It's not necessary of their culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just as much as New York is different from Jersey City, and Jersey City is different from Newark and so forth.
Right.
You know, we're close together, but still, we have different swagger, you know what I'm saying, to use the language of the street, the vernacular of the street.
Right.
So I think to really get that in place before the storm comes this way, if it's going to come this way. And I, you know, when we look out and we see those things happening in other areas, then we have to be preparing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't, we can't lay around continuously party and think that it cannot come here. I mean, it's been here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And yes, it can return.
Right.
Because as the cliche go, if you forget history, history is doomed to repeat itself.
True. Yeah.
So if even a generation detached themselves from their roots, then they do not know the history.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are going to repeat the very same thing their ancestors went through because they are detached from them.
Right. I think that a lot of the youth are not aware. Like, they'll see the violent part of the history, but they're not aware of the successes of our history and what actually made it fall. You know, there are people who actually fought for these things that we're experienced right now, but it stopped. These were already resolved before, and now it's just like it just got all washed away, and it's a missing link there because nobody knows what happened. Well, you know, it's a lot of things in place that the youth aren't aware of what happened. So they just see what media is feeding them, and that's the violence of it all. And I think that's how they feel they need to react in order to get something done, when in actuality, there was a certain protocol to get things done. There was petition, there was writing to your congressman, there was emails, you know, there was not emails back then, but letters, you know, and there were protests. They were not violent protests. They were, you know, sending a message, and that got things resolved. Now then you moved into the time when, at times, some things did have to get violent because people needed to protect themselves. And at the same time, they still weren't getting protected because they were very submissive to the police that were doing this to them. You know, and I think the children, of the youth of today, are not going to sit back and let that happen. But it's in a misguided way. Well, you know, they have that energy that we're not going to let you beat on our backs.
I don't think I would want somebody to beat on my back neither.
Right.
Not in those terms, because that was a time.
Mm-hmm.
That was a time, and that was a situation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and our ancestors, we had pulled ourselves up from that, you know,
right.
And to hear many of the vernacular, the degrading, derogatory vernacular that are used,
right,
use of themselves, totally. That have to go.
Mm-hmm.
That need to go, because all these things points to something that the children of oppressors,
mm-hmm,
they're longing to push forth and make these things come back into existence. And mm-hmm, we can see that in many, many ways.
Right.
It's coming back, you know what I'm saying? And people have to know, look, you have to get back to your roots. You have to come back home. The prodigal child must, mm-hmm, come back home. Whatever term you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be unified to remove bad elements from your community. Because,
right,
if you're not going to remove those bad elements and you allow them to exist in your community,
mm-hmm,
and I don't mean to wipe something out or to harm anything, because sometimes the exposure of something,
right, just to address it and point something, yes, out to someone, like you're doing this, it's not, yes, going against what we believe in our community.
Listen,
and we're not going to stand for that. Like, you can just check that.
Listen, it's been said long, mm-hmm, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Right.
So we can update that. The pen is mightier than the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we can say many ways today. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? It's mightier than the pen, the word, the understanding,
mm-hmm,
that can really hurt many people. So,
mm-hmm,
we need not to get ourselves worked up in this infiltration. I have to refer to that over and over again.
Yeah.
Because these things in coming to our neighborhood because of our children. Indeed, someone put these things here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be wise enough and see these things and know it. And don't adhere and fool ourselves.
Right. And I think the media plays a big part in that. Where they could actually lie to you, put up a story and show you footage from something that happened many, many moons ago, and just put it in with that footage, and you see it, and that's what you're going to believe that is going on. It's not necessarily true. So just like with this, you know, they're looping the same thing over and over, the same small areas that this is happening in, and making it seem like it's all of Baltimore or all of Ferguson, when it's really not. It's just a small part of it. And meanwhile, there are people who are being peaceful and getting things done. in a peaceful manner. You know, sure, you're going to be upset. Everybody's going to be upset. There's a threat on your life. You know, it causes unnecessary fear. We should not live in fear. But at the same time, we need to know how to get our thoughts together, come to the leaders that are in our community, and speak with them. Come to organizations that are already in progress of fighting these disrespectful things that are going on in our community. These are things that are truly disrespecting us as humans, and based on the color of our skin.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that we begin to take control of our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in the law, as law officers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there are many youth out there that they don't have federal records, you know
right.
what I'm saying, where they can begin to apply for these deep positions.
Right.
And move into those positions.
Right, into the council.
And control and, your
right.
neighborhood.
Right.
Control your neighborhood the way that we need to know our neighborhood mm-hmm. needs to be controlled. You know? We can't look back on the president all the time. We
right.
can't do this. He's everyone's president.
Yeah.
I think he's doing a wonderful job. You know? And I hope that he continue on the way that he's going. And I think if we as citizens, along with and whatever countryman there is, along working with the African American countrymen, that we would improve all these bad conditions, as the president stated. Because
mm-hmm.
everyone have to work as a villager, a good villager, in keeping sure that we keep our youth together. And the only way we're going to do that is that we ourselves have to be good villager. We can't talk the talk and not walk the walk.
Right. You know, I want to keep this brief so that, you know, people don't lose the thought of, you know, exactly what we're trying to get. There are smaller things that are in place. Like I pointed out, the school to prison pipeline, and I can't, like, that's like the biggest thing. You have to get involved in your child's life. You have to get back in control of being a parent. Regardless of what you're doing, who you are, what you've done, what you've been through. These are your children. Our children are the battlefield right now. And it's putting them at risk to become either murdered or imprisoned or just a failure. And it's set up that way. You have to gain, regardless of your background, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of what you've done, you have to control your own children. And if you cannot control your own children, they will be controlled, and not in a good way. And I just think that as parents, mothers, you're a person first. Accept that as just for yourself. Accept that as being a person first. And accept that you're a parent. And be the person that knowing what you've been through, what you don't want your child to go through, and parent and advise them on that. Kids respect parents who talk to them. Kids respect you when you guide them.
I think it was a wonderful thing that there was a mother
right.
that saw her young teenage male.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't desire to
see him out there,
and she grabbed him by the hood, I am told, and begin to slap him around and order him to refrain from his
right.
behavior
mm-hmm.
or to either go home or whatever the situation may be. But that's parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us are afraid because of these different laws that they have
for
our children. And, you know, we sort of like fell back in that type of thing. Those things need to be revisit, and they need to be explained, and we need to get forth and become a community,
right.
a loving community,
right.
and a respectful community. Someone didn't like the love that we had in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
that family love,
mm-hmm.
and they worked feverishly, feverishly
to destroy
that love. We need to go back to that same love and respect. We need to go back to that same love and respect that we had for the 50s and the 60s. Yeah, I know many of you was not around, but trust me. You know, those are the keys to success. Those are the keys to success to any people. You cannot cut off your roots. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. There was an incident also where there was a male. He shouted to the youth, go home.
Right.
And I think that was another wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the voices that we need to hear in our community.
Right.
This is what we need to hear. You know, we can't be afraid of our children. We need to walk up them respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to tell them, you know, respectfully what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not accusing them, because unless we have definite proof of what they are doing,
right.
evident proof. And respectfully ask them to refrain from their action.
Right.
And, you know, and I think this is one of the things I think someone said he was a veteran.
A veteran, yes.
He's a veteran, yes. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I don't have his name, and I hope maybe.
I think it was Valentine.
Valentine, yeah. Mr. Valentine. Okay, yes. So I think it was a wonderful thing that he did, and we need more men.
Yes.
You know, we need more men in that area to speak to our young men.
Yes.
You know, to let them know that, yes, we respect you, we understand you hurt, but there is no need to jeopardize the community, your women folks, your children, over some television set or some hot dog sandwiches.
Right. Okay, so I also want to address the youth, because we're addressing the parents.
Yes.
And at the same time, you have to address our youth from 18 years down to our preschoolers. There are people, there are leaders in your community that are working really hard and are really concerned. And some of them don't even have children. But they understand that you guys are the future leaders of, and the future caretakers of what of us,
the African American community.
Yeah, you're going to be the ones that are going to take care of this place after we're gone, and when we're still here, you're going to be the ones taking care of us.
Don't tear it down.
We care about you, and we just ask that you respect. If someone points you out doing something wrong, show them the respect that they're trying to guide you. Not in the wrong direction. They're trying to guide you to make you better. And it should be appreciated that someone cares that much about you to say, listen, you're going down the wrong road. Don't wear your pants that way because it's not, whatever they point out about you. Accept it as love. Accept it as someone that is caring for you. Because there are people that are literally have their lives on the line for things that they're going to say that will change the way you're treated throughout life. Like literally putting their lives on the line. So I just ask that our youth respect that someone is caring that much for you. Though you don't see them, there are people that are working to keep you guys safe. And that's it for me, Aria Shalara.
Hut Info News. Information and news for the people. If you're silent, others will speak for you.